Good morning, everyone. We've been gathered together by the one who created us good, loved us, taught us all we need, and sent us into the world to serve his purposes. Will you please rise as you are able to join me as we call ourselves into an attitude of worship? God speaks peace to the faithful, to those who turn to God in their hearts.
Surely salvation is at hand for those who fear God.
Where God dwells, steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. God gives what is good, and we respond with abundant praise.
Please remain standing as we sing together hymn number 440, In Christ There Is No East or West. Please remain standing as we confess who we are. Even in our faithlessness, God loves us still and waits in mercy to forgive. Trusting in the promises given at our baptism, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Gracious God, you call us to step in the teeth, trusting in you for all things. We respond to your command, but then sink in doubt.
We hide from the challenges of bold discipleship. We are not able to fulfill your commandments, for our purposes are never in full accord with yours.
Forgive us, we pray, when we confess with our lips, but do not believe in our hearts. Help us to practice our faith in all circumstances. Lift us out of sin in the arms of your mercy. Though we are distracted by noise all around, allow us to hear your voice, even when it is in the sound of sheer silence. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Again, please remain standing as we are assured of whose we are. Our God sees all, knows all, forgives all, restores all through the Lord Jesus Christ. No one who believes in him will be put to shame, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share this peace with everyone you meet, beginning with those around you now.
Let us pray. O good and gracious God, in the beginning you spoke, and with a word created life out of the chaos of the universe. We thank you for your word. You have blessed us with it, and we ask that you allow us now to hear it from the depths of our hearts. Amen. I think we've had a communication gaffe. The first lesson today comes to us from Romans chapter 10. Beginning at verse 5. Let us listen now for God's word to Paul, who has then communicated it to us. Moses writes about the righteousness that comes from the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith talks like this. Don't say in your heart, who will go up into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will go down into the region below, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message of the faith that we preach. Because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Trusting with the heart leads to righteousness, and confessing with the mouth leads to salvation. The scripture says all who have faith in him won't be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is Lord of all, who gives richly to all who call on him. All who call on the Lord's name will be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm wondering if Miss Olivia would please join me. And for safety purposes,
thank you.
Miss Olivia knew the words on at least two of those. She's only, what, 10? She'll be 11 in December. Pretty cool. We're going to continue in Matthew's gospel. I've already basically told the story when Olivia was here with us, but I want to read it to you. And again, just as I did for the Romans, I'm reading out of the Common English Bible, beginning at verse 22 of chapter 14. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowds. When he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far away from the land. Very early in the morning, he came to the disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" They were so frightened, they screamed. Just then, Jesus spoke to them. "Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid." And Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water towards Jesus. But when Peter noticed the strong wind again, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Then those in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You must be the Son of God." This again is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, some kids relish it, and others want to run and hide at the mere thought of it. What am I talking about? Campfire ghost story night at summer camp, maybe? Yeah? The idea of anyone coming back from the dead to scare anyone else to death can put real fear into people of all ages, Olivia notwithstanding. Nowadays, many of us cope with our fears by watching movies like Pirates of the Caribbean 3 at World's End, which features Johnny Depp and, yes, a company of ghosts. Ghost stories have been told for most of human history, especially amongst sailors. And though usually a sign of terrible things to come, these stories also helped people explain the unknown. And the sea is a very dark, very vast, very frightening world of death and unknown. So throughout Scripture, we're given to understand that the sea is a chaotic threat to creation, to life. And that's even true for a small sea like the Galilee. It's just 13 miles long, shorter than the distance between here and New Concord, and it's all of 8 miles wide. And at 141 feet, it's more shallow than Lake Erie's 210 feet depth. Now, in shallow waters, a light breeze causes considerable chop. And in heavier breezes, getting thrown overboard into those kind of waves would well mean the end of your life. Now, Matthew's story tells us the boat Jesus had ushered his followers into was heading against the wind and was being battered. Thankfully, several of the disciples were professional fishermen, and they knew the Galilee's ways and could comfort the others. These men weren't afraid of the sea, at least not until a ghost appeared on the roiling waters. It was then everyone became worried for their lives and fearfully cried out. Seeing a ghost was not a good thing. And surprisingly, this ghost spoke to them. "Take heart. It is I. Be not afraid." That's an important message for the men to hear. First, it was their master's voice repeating words that he'd used twice before back in chapter 9 when he told a paralyzed man on a seaside cot to be encouraged for he would be healed. And then the bent over woman who touched his robe heard the same comforting words. But in the same breath that Jesus calms them, he also says four of the most life-giving words of the Bible. Do not be afraid. But between those two phrases, Jesus makes an unexpected statement. In English, we read it, "It is I, it's me." But in the original Greek that Matthew uses, the words ego eimi read, "I am." No doubt these faithful men recognized that phrase as the name God had given God's self when speaking with Moses. So is Jesus claiming himself as God? That would be quite a revelation. Brave, bold Peter isn't about to let that go without a challenge, though. And the reply he makes to his master is just as surprising as is Jesus' claim. If you are who you say you are, make me walk on water. Oh dear. Oh dear. Peter's just thrown himself into the same league with two others who doubted Jesus' identity. Satan had challenged Jesus to prove he was God's son by throwing himself off the pinnacles and then save himself. And later, just before Jesus is crucified, the high priests would put the same question to him to test his faith. Jesus did not accept Satan's challenge, nor will he do as the priests ask of him. But this time, this moment is different. This time it's his disciple, his friend, who is asking these questions. So why does Jesus grant Peter's request? Is he teaching the man an embarrassing lesson? No one walks on water except God? Perhaps the lesson is, you can try to do these things, but you're going to fall, and you can't save yourself, and you need God's help to do everything, anything. Maybe he's trying to show all the disciples that even though they're human and make mistakes, he'll act compassionately for them and be there to save them. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, 20th century theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer considered this question. He wrote this: Peter had to leave the ship and risk his life on the sea in order to learn both his own weakness and the almighty power of God. Yeah, Peter did walk on the water a few steps, but our first option of embarrassing him to prove God's power and privilege, that really doesn't float well. You see, his trouble began the moment he wasn't focusing on Jesus and Jesus' command to walk. On his own, Peter was weak, while God was still powerful. So perhaps Jesus was trying to help the disciples understand that they needed God's help in all they did. And even when their choices weren't the best possible, he'd still compassionately catch them as they fell. It's a good lesson. Yes? But scholars also suggest Jesus may have had at least one other reason to comply with Peter's request. Now, this is Matthew's second story about Jesus and the 12 being on the Sea of Galilee. And in chapter 8, Jesus, you'll remember, slept back on that boat when a huge storm blew in, and his followers woke him, and he quelled the winds. Yeah? This time he's walking through rough waters towards the boat they're in. Now, in Matthew's writings, boats are quite symbolic. We might grasp his meaning by thinking of the boats we regularly see in our chrismon ornaments on the tree during Advent and Christmas. Those boats symbolize the church, and they're often connected to an anchor, which reminds us of the steadying influence Christ has on our lives. Both symbols are ancient. The earliest Christians knew the dangers of the sea, both the real sea and the social sea in which they lived. They realized no one could swim in the rough waters surrounding them, but they could weather the chaos that other peoples blew over them if they were together in a boat. The boats in both chapters 8 and 14 of Matthew's gospel are to be understood as safe places in which Jesus places his followers. Be not afraid. Still, Peter has challenged Jesus' identity. And Jesus says, okay, try to walk to me. Come on. And Peter starts out okay, then falters and screams to be saved. Jesus reaches out for his disciple, and the two clamber back to the boat, to safety, to the others in the boat. And with this, the wind stops. Everyone's safe. And the 12 worship Jesus as God. End of story? Well, kind of. But Bonhoeffer goes on to write, faith is only real where there is obedience. Never without it, and faith only becomes faith in the act of obedience. In challenging Jesus, Peter had disobeyed his master's original command to get in the boat and go on ahead of him. Why had Jesus ordered the disciples to do that? What was his reason for sending them away from the 5,000 men plus women and children that they'd just fed? In our story last week, Jesus had just heard about the death of his cousin, John the Baptist, remember? He wanted to go to a deserted place by himself to mourn, but people wanted him to preach and teach and heal, and give them hope. So he did, because that was the call that God had placed on his life. At the beginning of today's reading, Jesus is still seeking a little time to grieve alone. But he also knew that he'd need to attend to the work to which he'd been called. Ministry is nothing if not a balancing act. So in verse 22 today, we heard Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and head for where they'd all continue sharing God's message of hope with people in need, right? traveling separately to the next ministry site gave him a little alone time to grieve. And he knew he'd be able to catch up with them. But when the disciples saw that ghost walking in the angry waters, Peter caused them to disobey his order. Yeah, even before he went to take his first steps on the sea, Peter's faith had faltered. He stopped the boat saying, "Lord, if it is you." Actually, it isn't so much that Peter wanted proof of the ghost's identity. God has big shoulders and can gracefully handle disbelief. It's more, though, that he chose to disobey the order to go to the other side. He stopped and brought the others to a halt with him. Jesus very much wanted his friend to find faith in him, but he also knew that, as Bonhoeffer has written, faith only becomes faith in the act of obedience. In stopping their even minimal progress to the other side, Peter had broken faith with Jesus. He'd not trusted that even when faced with a ghost, God was protecting them in that small boat. Part of faith is trusting that Jesus is with us always, even when we're being battered about by the storms of life. We're not called to go out and walk about on the sea on our own. We're to obey Jesus' orders to be the church and stay in the boat. Not worry about the ghosts or other fearful things amidst the chaos. Frightening those storms may be, we're to stay together and do our best to get to the place God is sending us. We're not to let the ghosts that haunt our hearts frighten us. We're to move ahead even when, our next stop is not specified, which it wasn't in this reading. Friends, Jesus' hidden lesson is this. We may not know where God is leading us, but we're called to be here, together in this boat with this amazing, beautiful, whatever it is, upside down. We're here to trust that we will be safely led to wherever God intends for us to serve next. Yeah, we're to stay in the boat for now, but we're always to serve God. What we need to do is act faithfully, following the call Jesus has made on our lives. We're to take heart. We're to remember that Jesus, ego eimi, I am, is with us. We have nothing to fear, even though, like Jesus' earliest followers, our seas are choppy, and we don't exactly know where God is leading us. Take heart. God is with us. We have nothing to fear. Amen.
Please stand to affirm our faith with the reading of the Apostles' Creed found in your pew on the laminate. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for the singing of hymn number 404, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Draw our hearts together in prayer. Oh, good and gracious God, you spoke, and the world was created. Your word caused the rains to fall and the heavens to shine bright with stars and meteors. And on this glorious August morning, we come to you with praise and thanksgiving. Here in this place, we have come to listen to your ancient word, to find new meaning in it for our lives today. We are blessed and lift our thanksgivings for all of these things and more to you. We seek to be faithful to your word, O Lord. Yet, like Elijah, we sometimes seek the safety of faraway caves where we hope to hide from our fears. But you, our Creator and Redeemer, seek us out, calling us to new life and to new challenges. You invite us to get out of our boats and walk on the seas of change with you. Like Peter, we so want to do as you ask, but so often we sink beneath the weight of our fears. We cannot make it on our own, O Lord. We need you to pull us up from the depths. Put us back in the boat where we belong, and like the good parent you are, encourage us to move forward. So we ask for your guidance, your comfort, and support, and we take time to listen in the depths of silence to try to better understand what you would have us be and have us do as we move into the next part of our journey with you. O gracious and good God, though we ask much for ourselves, we do not turn our hearts away from the needs of the world. And on this morning, we lift up to you special concerns. We ask you attend to the needs of the people of Maui and Hawaii. Their homes and businesses have been obliterated by fire, and their hope is but a glimmer floating out on the Pacific. So many people have died from these wildfires. We grieve the plight of those who have survived. We pray that you will guide them and guide those who have the power to bring them from the depths of the ocean like chaos to safety and new hope quickly. We pray for the church around the world, and especially for congregations in this presbytery, including neighboring churches such as Buffalo down in Cumberland and High Hill near Chandlersville and Deerfield near McConnellsville. We ask that you enable them to do the work you have set before them and help them live into the meaning of Jesus' words, love one another. We pray for people in our own city. We pray for those who are ill, those who grieve the losses of loved ones, those who struggle against spiritual and physical poverty, and for those who do not know you. Let your face shine upon them and let them feel your peace. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who calls us to come and follow him, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 403, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Amen.
friends? We are often like Peter, the rock. And we forget Jesus' commands and we go out to walk by ourselves on the water and we fall. But Jesus is always there. He says, "Fear not, take heart. I am here." And he grabs us and we climb back into the little boat that floats on the water. And we float with the light of Christ, the light that leads us to life, the light that asks us to follow him, to do and serve for him. So go, do and serve for him. Know that he is always with you. And know that the love of God, Jesus' own grace, and the community that is the Holy Spirit goes always with you too, now and forever. Amen and amen.